Annenberg Radio News.
I think there's magic there, you know, and I don't think biology has even gotten close to that.
We look at the science behind a first kiss. One researcher says there's more to that first exchange than science can explain. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, February 14th, 2012. I'm Emily Frost. Today was supposed to be D-Day at the LA Unified School District headquarters. The Board of Education was set to vote on drastic budget cuts to adult and early childhood education programs. Teachers, parents, and education advocates mobilized to protest the cuts, but the board decided to delay a decision on the cuts and instead wants to explore ways to reduce costs. Logan Healy is live at LAUSD headquarters with the latest. Logan.
Hundreds of teachers, students, and parents are demonstrating outside of the LAUSD headquarters right now. Inside, the LAUSD school board was deliberating over $557 million in new cuts and about 7,500 layoffs. The board decided to postpone that decision until March 9th, but if passed, it would be the fifth straight year of what Warren Fletcher, the president of the United Teachers Los Angeles, calls draconian cuts. In the last 4 years of cuts, the LAUSD has laid off 8,000 employees. School board member Bennett Kaiser blames deep cuts in state funding, which now ranks 46th in the nation in funding per student, for the proposed district cut. Adult and early education initiatives, as well as elementary arts programs, are among those most affected by the proposals. Protesters like Juanita Garcia called those programs critical to the community and said the school board needed to put kids first. Fletcher, the UTLA president, said the district's proposals would cause the destruction and destabilization of communities. Many here are concerned that a deal between the LAUSD and groups like UTLA won't be reached by March 9th, when the measures will be taken back up by the school board. Fletcher said that if a deal was to be reached, business as usual just isn't an option.
Thank you, Logan. A teacher's aide at Fremont High School is in custody for attempting to have sexual relations with a student. Anna Catherine Brigida has more.
The FBI arrested Alain Salas at Fremont High School in South Los Angeles yesterday. He is charged with contact with a minor with intent to commit sexual offense. The FBI's Sexual Assault Felony Enforcement Team, known as SAFE, has been investigating Salas and his alleged relationship with a 15-year-old student. Salas is a fifth LAUSD employee arrested on allegations of sexual abuse, including two arrests at Miramonte Elementary School for lewd acts on students. LAUSD Superintendent John Dacey told KTLA-TV that the district employs more than 100,000 people. He said, quote, "Some people will make bad choices, and when we know about that, we respond to it." Salas is being held at the Los Angeles Inmate Reception Center in downtown. He has not been formally charged, but is expected in court tomorrow. Anna Catherine Brigida, Annenberg Radio News.
Healthcare workers and community leaders gathered today in front of the Centinella Hospital in Inglewood to sign petitions for two ballot initiatives. They would eliminate high hospital costs and expand charity care for the needy. Kira Brakey has the story.
$21 for a single dose of ibuprofen. $86 for an ACE bandage. These are the prices hospitals all over the state are allegedly charging patients. And unionized healthcare workers and community leaders are not happy. Joanna Powers is a licensed vocational nurse at Western Medical Anaheim.
The healthcare situation right now is out of control. It's way out of control, and we need to band together and put a stop to it.
The SEIU United Healthcare Workers West has collected over 250,000 signatures in just 1 month in favor of two proposed initiatives. The union needs 1.7 million signatures to get on the November 2012 ballot. If it succeeds, nonprofit hospitals will give 5% of their patient revenue to healthcare for the needy in exchange for not paying federal, state, and local taxes. Additionally, hospitals all over the state will charge no more than 25% of the actual cost of providing healthcare. president of the SEIU United Healthcare Workers West, Dave Reagan, says that in California alone, hospitals charge an average of 460% more than the actual cost of providing healthcare.
$21 aspirin, $151 for eye drops, $127 for lotion. The cost of hospital care is getting beyond the means of far too many people in this state, and we as healthcare workers want to do something about that.
Centinella Hospital is owned by Prime Healthcare Services. The union says on average, Centinella patients are charged 789% of the hospital's cost. A spokesperson for Prime Healthcare Services referred our call to the California Hospital Association, which was not available to comment by airtime. Controlling healthcare costs has been on the political agenda both nationally and in California. President Dave Reagan of the union says it's time something is done.
People get bills that bankrupt them. Medical debt is the leading cause of personal bankruptcy in the state of California.
Reagan says that each day the union is adding 20,000 signatures to the petition, and he is confident their initiative will appear on the November 2012 ballot. Kira Brecky, Annenberg Radio News.
Protesters gathered in downtown Los Angeles days after China and Russia vetoed a UN resolution that would have all but forced the president of Syria out of power. Jake O'Brien reports from the Chinese consulate on a protest by a group called the New Iran.
The protest was small, no more than a dozen people, almost all of whom were from the New Iran. You might ask what connection this group has to Syria, but the organization finds the issues at stake in Syria to have implications for Iran. Dr. Iman Farutan, chairman of the board of the New Iran, supports strict sanctions on Iran that the U.S. and members of the European Union imposed since Tehran announced advancements in nuclear technology.
These were going to hurt the government finally rather than just the people, which means the government of Iran will not have the funds and the money to pay the terrorist activities of Hezbollah, of Hamas. They're not going to have money to send soldiers into Syria to kill the Syrian people. They're not going to be able to bribe their own supporters inside Iran.
The New Iran is irate with China and Russia, who have not imposed sanctions and have actually begun negotiations with Tehran over purchasing oil, copper, and gas. Dr. Farutan fears the backing of China and Russia will give the Islamic Republic a sense of security and may lead the Middle East to war.
What they don't realize, these two countries, is that by doing so, they're taking the Middle East towards a war faster, because Islamic Republic believes now that it has its back covered by Russia and China. They'll be more suppressive of their people. There'll be more killing. People will rise up and Israel will be threatened, and God knows what they may do in the United States.
The New Iran hopes a free government will be elected in Iran as soon as this year, which will allow Iranians to cancel any existing contracts with Russia and China. Jake O'Brien, Annenberg Radio News.
And now in weather, lots of sunshine on this lovely Valentine's Day with a cool high of 61 and light winds this evening. Tomorrow will be a little less lovely. We'll see mostly cloudy skies and a chance of rain throughout the day. That should taper off on Thursday. Expect partly cloudy skies, a high of 72, and lows in the high 40s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, same-sex couples celebrate Valentine's Day with Prop 8 protests. Whitney Houston's body arrived in her home state of New Jersey today. Her family will be holding a private funeral service later this week. The coroner's office has not yet ruled on the cause of death, pending results of the toxicology test. Beverly Hills police are not releasing the results of her autopsy. Fans, meanwhile, are coping with the loss of a musical icon. Last night, about 100 South LA residents paid tribute to Houston at a vigil in Leimert Park. Veronica Villafañe has the story.
The sound of Whitney Houston's voice blared over speakers in Leimert Park as people danced and sang along during a vigil in her memory.
She sang songs that were uplifting. She sang songs about real life. She sang songs that were moving, you know, they would move people.
While some of the fans celebrated her life, others were overwhelmed.
I can't believe she's gone. I really can't. It's very emotional. Oh, that's my favorite song they played. I couldn't believe it. I just read something about her the 2 days before, and that she was going to perform for Clive Davis that night. She left right before the Grammys, just like Michael Jackson died right before his comeback.
Fans lit candles in memory of the iconic singer. Some embraced each other, expressing their sorrow and disbelief at Houston's death.
I still can't believe it, you know. Still surreal to me. She's a living legend that will never go. Her voice is forever.
Fans at the Leimert Park vigil didn't want to talk about the superstar's erratic behavior during her final days. They say they want to remember her as a beautiful icon and the legend she has now become.
Because she's known for her talent. And that's something nobody can take away from her.
Veronica Villafañe, Annenberg Radio News.
I know that when you look at me, there's so much that you just don't see.
The LGBT community protested today outside of the East Los Angeles County Clerk's Office for the right to marry. Evan Budrovich reports.
In honor of Valentine's Day, couples asked for marriage licenses from the County Clerk's Office. It's a way of protesting Proposition 8, the initiative that was passed in 2008 banning same-sex marriage in California. Maja Roble was there with her partner.
It's exhausting. It's difficult because every now and then it feels like we're like really close to marriage equality, and then something comes up where it seems like we've made very little progress at all.
The couples also celebrated the recent ruling by the Ninth Circuit Federal Court of Appeals. The ruling struck down Proposition 8, and the issue is most likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Same-sex couples are also protesting the Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA. It excludes legally married same-sex couples from Social Security, tax, and employee benefits. Nolan Halton says he and his partner just want the same rights as other couples.
So there's 1,138 rights that we don't have that straight people have. So, and when people tell us, well, you have a civil union, it's the same thing, they don't realize there's all these other items that just are not the same.
Today's protesters hope that by next Valentine's Day, they might have the right to marry in California, joining Washington State, which just legalized same-sex marriage yesterday. Evan Budrovich, ARN News.
For Valentine's Day, we decided to dig into the science behind love and relationships. It turns out, we're driven not just by our emotions, but by chemical changes in our bodies. I spoke with Dr. Marianne Fisher, a professor of psychology at St. Mary's University in Nova Scotia. We spoke about what's going on in our bodies when we feel that euphoria we associate with falling in love.
The same high you get during gambling, especially when you start to win when you gamble, or when people take cocaine, that rush they get, or from some other drugs, those same pathways in our brains and the same chemicals that are involved in that rush are what we feel when we fall in love. So this idea that, you know, you get a high from it, well, truthfully, you do.
So there are chemical changes that occur that are different during a long-term relationship versus a short-term relationship, right?
You meet someone and you might be a little bit less with them. You begin to really, you want them. And as I said before, you get that rush, right? That feeling of a high almost. And if your body keeps producing that chemical, you're going to basically be wiped out, right? You're going to be absolutely physically exhausted. So it makes sense that your body has to some point shift over. And with that, we see that change from that lust or that really passionate first love, that euphoria, into more of a stable, long-term, more companionate love. It doesn't mean that you can't get that rush back, but what it does mean is that you can't sustain it.
Why is the first kiss so important?
Oh, my goodness. There are a lot of things happening in that first kiss. And here I'm not so much meaning like what's going on in your brain so much as physiologically what's going on at that moment, because there looks to be some sort of transmission of hormones in saliva. So, for example, one hypothesis is that, of course, men have usually more testosterone than women. So when women are exchanging some sort of saliva with men, they're getting testosterone, which actually serves to increase their sexual drive or desire at that point in time temporarily. So by kissing, men are actually helping to increase women's sex drive with them temporarily. Another idea is that you're actually tasting pheromones, or you're getting some sense of pheromonal action there, so you can tell whether that person is a good mate to you or not, which involves your sense of smell as well as taste. All sorts of interesting things go on at that moment. But my basis is, and where I guess I'm a little bit different than most people that do the biology, and is I think there's magic there, you know, and I don't think biology has even gotten close to that. We all know a fantastic kiss. Like, you know, when we've had one, you know it. And I don't think talking about swapping saliva cuts it. I don't think talking about pheromones cuts it. There is just a certain magic, and I don't think we understand what's going on there yet.
So what are your Valentine's Day plans?
Actually, right now, my boyfriend's putting down a kitchen floor, which excites me no end. He gave me chocolate this morning, which was definitely the one thing I wanted, and I really appreciated it. And we're going to have just dinner in. We're going to have a nice pasta and some wine and just relax. So we had a romantic getaway on the weekend, which was very nice. But I think tonight we'll just stay in and just relax with each other.
That sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, and have a great evening. That was Dr. Marianne Fisher of St. Mary's University in Nova Scotia. I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life. When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue for all my life. Me and you, and you and me. State Assemblyman Mike Feuer officially announced his candidacy for L.A. City Attorney today. Several civic leaders, including Sheriff Lee Baca, will serve as honorary co-chairs of his 2013 campaign. L.A.'s current city attorney, Carmen Truchanich, announced last week he is running for county district attorney. Now we check in with Kendall Fisher to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Kendall, what do you have for us?
Thank you so much. Well, tonight we'll bring you the story on the fourth arrest made in the Los Angeles Unified School District on charges of molestation. We also have the latest coverage on the start of the USG elections. We'll keep you posted on those results. And finally, LAPD met today to discuss impounding cars of unlicensed drivers. See what they decided tonight at 6 on ATVN.
Thank you so much, Kendall.
Thank you.
President Obama's proposed national budget released yesterday included more than $80 million for transportation projects in Los Angeles. $50 million would go towards extending the Purple Line subway to Westwood. The other $30 million would help build a light rail to connect the Gold Line to the Blue and Exposition lines. Mayor Villaraigosa called this proposal a vote of confidence for the projects. If this aspect of the budget is approved by Congress, he says the expansion would begin next year. The LA City Council's Public Safety Committee unanimously approved changes to a truancy law that would eliminate fines of up to $250 for ditching school. This new law, introduced by Councilman Tony Cardenas, proposes different penalty options for first and second time offenders, replacing the previous $250 fees. In order to teach students a lesson, the committee is enacting a plan that forces students to either improve attendance or perform community service. Students who get caught skipping school a third time will be charged $180. This will lighten the load for LAPD around the area who enforce and ticket students that violate the truancy policy. that's it for this Tuesday. We had help from John Debold and Jacqueline Grant. Aaron Schrank is our producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Emily Frost.